This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Japan isn't saying that China can't have its chips, but it's probably not going to give it any more of them. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Japan is planning to put export restrictions on 23 types of equipment used to manufacture semiconductors. They'll come into effect in July and will require Japanese companies that are critical to the global semiconductor supply chain to seek export permissions for all regions. The BBC's Monica Miller told me the details.
This has been a discussion that has been going on for quite some time. It certainly has to deal with the U.S.-China tech war, even though Japan did not specifically say anything about China in this announcement. What they are targeting is something very specific. It's the kind of equipment that makes semiconductors that go into artificial intelligence and advanced wireless networks. This is something that the U.S. has flagged as being a security concern because they feel if it gets into China's hands to make this for military purposes. This is something that they want to stop. So there are really two other countries that make this type of technology. One is the Netherlands and the other is Japan. The Netherlands had signed on to a similar agreement a short while back, and now Japan looks to be considering this. There needs to be a public hearing phase or comment phase to take place before it's decided. But if it is approved, it looks to be like it will go into effect this July.
And what does it mean for these big Japanese tech companies that export? What are they going to do? Presumably, they're not going to be happy about this.
Yeah, I mean, they did say, the Japanese officials had said that it shouldn't have a huge impact on the domestic production. I mean, some of these companies are big, Nikon for one of them. So I think they are going to protect their own. However, you know, they didn't specifically say China in this agreement. They said that they would continue trade with their favorable trading partners. Those are countries like the U.S. and Singapore that make semiconductors and that have a relationship previous to this. So I think they feel that that will be insulated and will provide enough export opportunities for them.
BBC's Monica Miller in Singapore, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
It's a pleasure.
Now, let's do the numbers. Asian markets and equities got a boost after stronger than expected economic data in China. Official figures suggest this month's activity in China's non-manufacturing sectors grew at its fastest rate in more than a decade. And the outgoing head of the World Bank, David Malpass, said he's concerned about some of the conditions China has been attaching to loans it's been giving to low-income countries. He's been speaking to the BBC's Aaron Hesselhurst. He asked him whether the current banking crisis could impact lending.
It's a big added problem. So already there wasn't enough commercial bank lending. That's been a problem throughout the QE period, where in the U.S. and in Europe, the money was flowing to long-term investments through bond markets. You know how the big companies were issuing bonds and buying back their stock. And so that left smaller businesses without the commercial bank loans, the working capital financing. How do you finance accounts receivable and inventory when banks don't have that much desire to talk with smaller businesses? So that was a problem. And now with this, it adds to that problem and includes, as you say, the developing countries. It's going to be very hard for them to get the short-term lending that is vital for people trying to get up from the bottom.
As we know, part of the problem, of course, in the banking world is linked in some degree to the higher interest rates for the US dollar and other major currencies. David, just explain what impact that's having on the developing world and its ability to repay the debt.
As interest rates go up, it goes up for the riskless investments, meaning governments have to pay some more, but it goes up even more for those that have some credit risk, which would be smaller countries around the world, developing countries. So they get hit by the rise in the interest rate, and then some of the countries are devaluing on top of that. Let's say you're a business in a poorer country. Mm-hmm. The market already says, boy, you must be risky, so they're adding to your interest rate, and then your currency begins to go down. So you're trying to get enough money to pay back that dollar debt. That's a difficult situation. Businesses really are freezing in many parts of the world.
David Malpass from the World Bank speaking there. Now, you've probably heard of Candy Crush Saga, or you might even be playing it on your cell phone at the moment. Downloaded around 3 billion times, it's one of the most successful games ever. King, the company behind it, is part of Activision Blizzard, which is currently the target of a takeover from Microsoft. The BBC's technology editor, Zoe Kleinman, has been speaking to the president of King, to Jodolf Sommestad.
The mobile games market is now just as big as the console games and the PC games combined, actually a bit bigger. So it is the dominating kind of platform to play on.
You're certainly in demand, aren't you? Microsoft is looking to buy Activision Blizzard, which King is a part of, and Microsoft says it wants access to the mobile gaming market, which you have. How does that feel?
We are excited about the merger. I mean, Microsoft have said, like you said, that they are like interested in expanding more on mobile, and at King we are... That's where our home is, and like we have 233 million players in Q4, monthly players in Q4 in mobile. So it would be interesting to partner with them and see what we can do together.
Where does artificial intelligence fit with King?
The acquisition of the Swedish company Peltarion is strengthening that, like with talent and experience and some of the technology that it also can bring. And they're now integrated with our team, and we're looking to build like an AI hub.
Do you think AI will be creating games for us?
Not in the near term for sure, but like it is a very useful tool.
There's a lot of layoffs going on, aren't there, with big tech in the US? Are you finding more people are knocking on the door?
We're seeing a change, and of course we notice a bit of that. But my perspective is that it's not necessarily going to be much easier because we have a very high bar also on like finding talent that has the experience or have the energy and the drive to come in and really add value to our amazing teams.
President of King to Jodolf Sommestad speaking there. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Joe Strickland on the tech today. Our editor is Joe Critcher. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great weekend and thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.